Amen. I love those songs. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, veiled from our eyes. We blossom and flourish like leaves on a tree and wither and perish, but naught changeth thee. So true, the great and mighty God that we serve. Let's open with prayer. Father, I thank you for this beautiful morning. I thank you for your goodness bringing us once again together again and bringing us through another week. And Lord, even today now, bringing us through another year. Father, your mercy reaches to the heavens. Your grace reaches to the clouds. Lord, without it, we would be dead already long ago. Lord, we depend on and we lean on your mercy and your grace, and we're thankful for it. Father, this morning I pray as we open your word, you would enlighten and draw close and speak to our hearts. Father, that we would be prepared to faithfully and joyfully and mightily move forward for you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to look at, this isn't exactly a New Year's message per se, but it kind of is. It's kind of my thoughts as I'm looking towards the new year beginning tomorrow, and kind of some of the things that I would like to take with me into the next year. I tend to treat my birthday more like a lot of folks treat the new year than I do the new year itself. I'll often try to find some time on my birthday to have some quiet time of reflection on the previous year and look towards the next year and spend some time in prayer. But it's not that far apart for me. My birthday and the new year is not that far apart. So, but anyway, this morning I want to begin in Romans chapter 8. And I want to look at what God says that we are, who God says that we are, as we get ready to go into this new year, that we would have that to stand upon and draw from and find courage and strength and the determination to set forth those goals of our walk with the Lord and our desire to grow in our love for Him and our knowledge of Him, our not just our head knowledge of Him, but our intimate knowledge and friendship with Him in this coming year. And I want to look in beginning in verse 31. Probably most of us could quote verse 28. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. He goes on from that to say how he's planned and he's made his purposes established concerning us. Kind of similar to what we were looking at in Ephesians this morning. How he's planned out and laid out before us a way. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, beginning in verse 38, he says, what shall we then say to these things? What's our response to these amazing, amazing things that God has done, is doing, and will do for us, in us, and through us? These amazing purposes and promises that He has laid out. We know that everything that happens and comes along in our life will work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose. We know that He's called us. He's predestined us. He's working on justifying us. And He will glorify us ultimately when it comes to that day. So what's our response? What then shall we say to these things? What should we say? What's our response? He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God, the Almighty Creator of all of heaven and earth, the God who is far beyond and outside of time, who isn't bound and hampered by time, He can look and speak about the future as though it's already happened, for He can see it perfectly from the end to the beginning and from the beginning to the end. This God who knows all, sees all, and has all power, if God be for us, who can be against us? And I feel like in a nutshell, we could end right there. And that's the sermon I want to bring this morning is, as you go into this new year, if God be for us, who can be against us? What do I have to fear? What do I have to be overwhelmed and discouraged about? If God is for me, who can be against me? Whom shall I fear? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, He who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If He didn't hold back His very own Son, why would you assume that He's going to hold back other things that could be beneficial and helpful? He's not going to. He is freely giving us all things that are needed for life and godliness, He says in Ephesians, I believe. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It's God who's justifying you. If this year that's coming, if you face opposition, if you face defamation of character, if you face people saying bad things about you, remember, it's God who justifies. You don't have to take that. You don't have to take that as your own. You don't have to own it as, well, I guess that's how I am because that's how they see me. God is the one who justifies. It is God who justifies. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He's making intercession for us. He's praying on our behalf. He knows our weakness. He knows our propensity to walk contrary to His will. He knows how easy it is for us to slip and to fall. And He Himself, Jesus Christ, is interceding for us. Who is he that condemneth? Who would have the right to stand up and say, you are a horrible, terrible person, when Christ says, hey, I took his place. You're going to say, I'm a horrible, terrible person? No, you can't say that Christ is a horrible, terrible person. He's the Son of God. He's the very God Himself. And it's Him who died and was risen and now is interceding for us. So it only makes perfect sense to flow on to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? What in all of creation, in all of the invisible and visible universe, what could possibly separate us from that kind of love and power? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then he lists some things. He says, shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? You could go on and list literally anything in the known universe and the unknown universe. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing can. Verse 36, he says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. It's trying. They're trying. Our enemies are trying to separate us from the love of God. Ultimately, our spiritual enemy, who we don't see, this war we're fighting, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and might and dominion. But in verse 37, he says, nay, no, absolutely not. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Wouldn't it be enough to just be conquerors? It would. But God does everything. He doesn't do anything halfway. He does everything more than enough. He has made us more than conquerors through him who loved us. I like to think of it as if you watch two guys go into a boxing ring and they're battling back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and this one gets a punch and that one gets a punch in and this one gets a punch in, and you know, it's, you don't know exactly who's going to win. But when Christ steps into that ring to do battle with sin and with death and with hell, there's not even a contest. Before the enemy even knows what happened, he's laying on the ground looking up at the sky with stars spinning around his head going, whoa, what just happened? He's more than a conqueror. He doesn't have to fight and struggle and eventually eke out a win. Hopefully, we hope. He's more than a conqueror. I love looking in the book of Revelations where we see the whole entire earth coming together with all the powers of hell and Satan at their head, leading them to march against Christ. And it doesn't even speak of a battle. There's not a word of a battle. The very next verse, after it explains and details the venom and the hatred and the might and the power that they're trying to bring against him, the very next verse, without any conflict, without any struggle and fight, the very next verse, the devil was taken, the false prophet was taken, the beast was taken, and they were all bound and cast into the lake of fire. There was no contest. He's more than a conqueror. And through Christ Jesus, we are become more than conquerors through him that loved us. This is spiritual reality. It doesn't always feel like it or look like it every single day of your life. But take this with you as you begin into this new year. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Not on our own. We don't have any strength on our own. But if we stay in him, we have more than enough power through him to defeat all that the powers of hell and all that humanity and all the tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, anything that can be thrown against us. More than conquerors. More than conquerors. We look back in verse 32, he's freely given us all things. Freely given us all things. He's kicked open the doors of his eternal storehouses and said, there you go, my child. It's all there. It's all there. Freely. God has no limit to his supply. He is more than a conqueror. And through him, we can and should be more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. Spiritually, it is already fulfilled. God saw the end from the beginning, and he already sees it coming to pass. And he says, you are perfect in my son. You are more than conquerors. Now you and I, on a day-to-day basis, need to learn to live in and walk out what God has already said is a reality. We are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. We are accounted perfectly holy and righteous before God, just as much as Jesus Christ himself. We are, not just we will be, not just we're in the process of becoming that. Those are all true. But currently, God looks at us and says, you are more than conquerors through him who loved you. He goes on in verse 38. He says, for I am persuaded. There's no doubting. There's no questioning. I'm persuaded that neither life, neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. Did I miss anything? I don't know. Nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you can think of anything else that doesn't fit in this list that he gives, it's covered in the nor any other creature. I am persuaded. It's set and fixed. This is what I am fixing and building my life on. I am persuaded. I know this is how it is. Neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, not things going on right now, nor things present, nor things to come, nothing, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. It's amazing to look at this list that he gives here and compare it with Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Look at verse 38 of Romans chapter 8. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers. Who did he say we fight against? Principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. These two almost word for word overlap. We're fighting against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 38, he says, I am persuaded that not angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come can separate me from the love of God. It's a done deal. Through Christ Jesus, we have the victory over already. Have the victory over these things we're fighting against. We already have that victory. God has declared it so. We can look at the end of the book. We can see who's going to be the victor, not by a little bit, but by a mile. We can see already the outcome that is coming. We already know who's going to be victorious. Even the devil already knows. He doesn't like to admit it. He'd like to think he can change it. But he already knows his time is short. He already knows that he's not winning this fight. He's fighting, but he knows he's not going to win this fight. He's just trying to drag as many down with him as he can. He's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his purpose and his goal. He's not even trying to win because he knows he can't. He's trying to make it as miserable as possible for God's people, for all of humanity that God created in his image. And he's hoping maybe he can pull out a win somehow, I think. But he already knows he's not going to. He already knows he's a defeated foe. It's already a done deal. It's already a done deal. God has already proved 1,000 times over that he's far more powerful. Christ Jesus didn't have to fight and struggle to barely eke out a win to rise from the dead. When he was ready, he rose in power and might, and there was nothing that all the powers of hell could do to hang on to him and hold him back. They couldn't keep him from leaving. They couldn't keep him from rising. They couldn't keep him from fulfilling his purposes that had already been set forth. It was a finished deal. It was a finished deal. We often look at what's happening around us and we wonder and we question and we don't quite know what the outcome is going to be, but God knows. what the outcome's going to be. And it's already a finished, sealed, signed, and delivered package in the mind of God. You are more than a conqueror through Him who loves you. You do have power through Christ Jesus over principalities and powers and might and dominion and all these things. They can't separate you from the love of Christ. They can't. It's a done deal. The only thing that can touch us is what we allow into our lives. The only thing that can touch us is what we allow into our lives. When Christ was getting ready to go to the cross, He made a statement. He said, "The God of this world is coming, and He has nothing in me." Oh, that that would be the testimony, brothers and sisters, of every single one of us. That He has nothing in me. He has no foothold. He has no stronghold. He has no space that I've allowed Him to kind of do His thing and have His way. And I've allowed myself to do my own thing and go my own way. Oh, that this would be true every day of each one of us, that we could look honestly into our lives and our hearts and say, "He has nothing in me." There's a quote I heard. "Some men die in battle. Some men die in flames. But most men die inch by inch as they play Satan's games." As they play Satan's games. Some men die in battle. Some men die in flames. But most men die inch by inch as they play Satan's games. So don't be overconfident in yourself, but confident in Him. Because He's already got the victory. Through Him, you already have the victory too. If you stand in it and walk in it with Him. That's the key. With Him. Well, you're looking in Ephesians this morning. By Him, through Him, in Him, for Him, to Him. It's all Him. In Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are complete in Him. Our completeness is only complete in Him. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. We didn't get quite that far this morning in Bible study. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. "Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above..." What things? He gives almost the same exact list again. "Far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." It's a very similar list. This is who Christ is, not just above, but verse 21 says far above. Far above. All principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Christ is far above all of that. Not just a little bit above, far above. We see in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 6, that He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So where's Jesus sitting? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. How much above? Far above all of these things that He says we fight against and war against. Christ is far above those things, seated far above those things. Now in verse 6 of chapter 2, he says, he has seated us with him together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we are now not just a little bit above those things, but far above through Christ Jesus. We're seated with him far above these things that we see and we feel and that are going on all around us. We're far above those in Christ. This is spiritual reality that we need to sink our teeth into and hang on to as we go through this new year. He says the same thing in chapter 1, verse 3. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Again, it's already spiritually a done deal. We already are seated with him in heaven. Spiritually, it's a done deal. It's not something we're striving towards only. There is that. There is a truth in that. But it's also from God's perspective, eternally already accomplished that we are seated with him. We are seated with him in heavenly places. We will one day physically and in our perceived reality be seated with him in those heavenly places, and that will be amazing. But brothers and sisters, don't forget, right now, today, you already are seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We already are. That eternal truth that we're waiting for and looking towards and excited about is already spiritually true and real in our lives. We're already seated with him spiritually. We're not just working towards that and waiting for it. We're already seated with him in heavenly places, far above all of these things that he says we war against. We're not fighting on a level playing field anymore against these things. We're not fighting before Christ reached us and saved us. We weren't fighting on a level playing field either. We were way down trying to fight our way out. But he didn't just bring us up to a level playing field where now we can fight man to man with these powers and principalities. He took us far above them. In Christ Jesus, we're not fighting from a place of face to face, sword to sword, hand to hand. Oh, we just might make it out of here if we're really careful and we do our job really well. We're already fighting from an advantage, huge advantage, far above. We're not called, brothers and sisters, to barely survive in the Christian life. We're called to be more than conquerors. To be marching forward spiritually, day after day, drawing from and relying on this power of Christ that we now share in, that is far above and far more than anything that we have to face. Far more. I already quoted, but let's turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." He's the head. He's the chief. He's the one in charge, and he's far above them. Far above them. And you and I are complete in him. So as he is far above these things, so we are spiritually far above these things. And now, on a day-to-day basis, we need to learn to walk that out. But the victory's already been won. We're not fighting for the victory. We're fighting from a place of victory. That's so much more encouraging. You already know what the outcome is. You just have to do and faithfully serve and fight to see that outcome come forth. But the outcome's already there. The outcome's already decided. As long as I stay in Him, He's far above these things. So as long as I stay in Him, He's lifting me up to be far above these things. I don't have to strive and fight and struggle with these things, hoping that maybe I'll get the victory someday. In Christ, I already have the victory. I already have that victory. Who are we with? Whose team are we on? Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Jesus came and spake to them and said, all power, not some power, not lots of power, not most of the power, not almost all of the power, all of it, every last bit of it, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All of it. That's whose team we're on. All power. We've got all the power on our side. All of it. Verse 19. Go ye therefore confident. Marching forth. Not fretful. Not worrying. Not wondering, are we going to make it? Are we going to survive? Is this going to be all right? How's it going to shake out in the end? All power is given to Him in heaven and in earth. And now, knowing that, He says to us with confidence, go ye therefore. Go forward. Go forth. Go forth in this power, in this strength that is already yours in Christ Jesus. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. You're not just fighting from, not just coming out from and going out from a place of power, but that power is with you the whole time you're going. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. What a powerful God we serve. He's not limited. Not even a little bit. And by His incomparable, understandable grace, we have been made part of that. Raised up to sit with Him in heavenly places themselves. All power, far above, more than conquerors. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would drive these truths deep into our being, deep into our soul, Lord, as we go through this year before us, 2024. Father, that we would hang on to and embrace and remember these things, Lord, that we're not fighting to gain the advantage, we're fighting from the advantage. We're not fighting to gain the victory, we're fighting from victory that's already been won. Father, help us to embrace these things, to be persuaded of them, as Paul says in Romans, I am persuaded. Father, that we would go forth and live out day to day the reality, increasing more and more as our lives go on and as this year goes on, more and more increasing to walk in this reality that is already a done deal for you. In Jesus' name, amen.